I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
In Bravo news, a new episode of Life After Bravo is out, and it's with Alexis Bellino from Real Housewives of Orange County.
Did you ask her about the nickname Jesus Jugs?
We definitely talked about her reputation as sort of the religious one. You know, I don't know if I specifically brought that up because she was at one time suing Tamra for using that term, I think. So I was careful there.
Right.
But we did talk all about her time on OC. She has since divorced Jim Bellino, and we got into that and even met her new boyfriend.
Ooh.
Yeah. So go to bravotv.com/lifeafterbravo.
Also, if you guys watched part 3 of the Married to Medicine reunion earlier this week, we have a bonus episode out where we break down parts 2 and 3, the Scott and Contessa of it all, the Jackie and Simone of it all. So take a listen.
Yes. Also, did we mention you can text with Bravo now? Message the word podcast to 917-809-2240.
Also, we had a birthday shout out last week and we have a birthday shout out this week. Producer Britt.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for all you do.
Okay, what are we recapping today?
Real Housewives of Potomac.
Avi.
Below Deck Med. And Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God, it's getting better and better.
Yep.
Plus, we have an interview with the Grand Dame, Karen Huger, from Real Housewives of Potomac. Okay, Potomac.
So Wendy finally admits it. She yes. had work done besides the boobs.
Did you get your butt done?
You get a butt?
I did that.
So Robin called it. You said no. Hold on, let me see the butt. You got the butt done too, didn't you?
Interesting, it took her a bit to get to that announcement because you would think it would have been right away.
Well, listen, we work in digital marketing, right? We know the importance of a rollout plan. So sometimes you just have to give them a little bit and draw them in, and then you give them a little bit more.
Or was she inspired by Mia's honesty?
I thought you were going to say, was she inspired by me? It's like, maybe. She probably was. I'm sure Mia being so honest might have encouraged her to be more transparent.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask her about it because she's guest co-hosting next week.
That's right, because I will be out of town.
Yep.
And we thought, who can we bring in? And we didn't get Dr. Wendy last season.
I know.
So that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I will say, as much as I am loving Mia so far, I do feel like there's a little bit of ass kissery happening with the OGs.
Okay.
And I get it, right? Like, I think that you have to step away from this and kind of say to yourself, you're coming into this group of women. She's told me that she was a fan of the show. So she knows that there's politics at play.
Right.
And I think that it's for her own best interest to sort of get in there with all of them a little bit.
That's really interesting because it reminds me of what Jennifer Aiden has said about Margaret Josephs in the past and how Margaret has been careful to challenge Teresa, go against Teresa. She's very much aligned with her since she joined the show. Maybe Mia's taking the same kind of route, like getting in with the OGs.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I also think maybe she just wants to get into the Real Housewives of Potomac group chat.
Right. I mean, who wouldn't?
Right, exactly.
I do have to ask you this. What's a DNV girl?
Oh, I don't know.
When she is showing, like when we're seeing her house and her family, she's like, yes, I am a DNV girl. And I was like, DMV?
Yeah, I was just there last week.
Like, you give out driver's licenses. I was so confused. And then I was like, well, maybe it's a thing the young kids say.
Is it a sorority? Just like a very rare sorority that we're not aware of?
I'm going to Google it.
We got to Google it. We need to know. Britt, do you know? Britt has no idea.
Girl.
She's the youngest one in the room, so we had to ask her.
Nothing's coming up. So maybe I heard it wrong.
Oh, no, the first thing that comes up for me, DMV, a term used to refer to D.C., Maryland, and Virginia as a unit of origin.
Oh.
So if you're from that particular area. Yep.
So it was in.
It's DMV, yeah. There we go.
Well, that's confusing.
I know.
All right.
I wouldn't say that.
Less exciting than I thought.
You're looking at a born and raised DMV girl.
I am very interested to watch Candace follow this Candy Burris blueprint. She is using the show to promote her music career. She's getting into acting. Do you think she found some inspiration in Candy?
Maybe. This is where I think that maybe I will differ from some. And this will come up later, this episode with Wendy, too. There is something that turns me off about someone who's doing too many things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because it feels inauthentic in some way, or like you don't trust your talents enough to stay in one lane, so you kind of do a little of everything. I don't know, but it's just a lot to keep up with.
I know what you mean, because there was a time when if you were an actor, you were an actor.
Right.
If you were a musician, singer, that was all you did. And now everyone seems to be a double, triple, quadruple threat.
And, you know, I do think musician and actor, those sort of go hand in hand. But then you have her going back to school. So, like, is there another business venture coming? That's where I get a little, you know, wary of it.
Plus filming the show, which takes a lot of time and energy.
Yes.
And I have concerns over Chris being her manager.
Again, that's odd to me. What I don't understand.
You'll hear in the interview with Karen later, I asked her what she thought about it. And you know Karen, she was diplomatic. She was like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. She was like, Ray would never be my manager, but that's me. And I agree. I don't know if mixing business and pleasure in that way is healthy for them. It just doesn't seem to be the way they should go.
Well, here's the other part of it, I guess, for me, that I think I have very strong feelings about. Are you watching White Lotus on HBO?
No. Should I be?
Absolutely. But it's very good. And this young girl is asking Connie Britton for advice because she's just gotten married and she married into this wealthy family. But she also has this career as a journalist and she's now in a place of, he kind of wants her to give that up. Mm. Connie Britton's like, well, do you have a prenup? And she's like, yes. And Connie goes, so if something went awry in this marriage, you would not be set for life. And the girl goes, no. And she goes, then you need to keep your career. And I feel like these housewives sort of treat Real Housewives like you married a rich guy and you're going to be set for life. But the truth is, you don't know when it's going to end. So don't give up your day jobs.
Yeah.
Like, Chris needs to stick with being a chef. He doesn't, you know, don't go down this house husband route, because who knows what will happen?
That's true. That is true.
And so many of them do it. Even Ramona. I think about her career a lot. Why did you give up what seemed to be a really successful career as this person who made those like fashion deals? You know what I mean? It seems like she was really successful at that. And now she's sort of having to be like, real estate? I don't know.
And it is risky because, yes, Candace might be following the Candy Burris blueprint, but she doesn't have as much to fall back on as Candy did. Candy was set up from the very beginning, being a songwriter, part of Escape. Once she got to Housewives, she was already established and she was good, whether she had Atlanta or not. Candace isn't in the same boat, so spreading herself too thin could work against her in the long run.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But hope I'm wrong.
Listen, Drive Back, her latest song, is so good. Very Kelly Rowland, slow jam, a little Jasmine Sullivan. It's good. Go check it out. Okay. Right on iTunes. She didn't pay me to say that. I swear.
Okay.
Okay, so we got some clarity on what we were discussing last week.
This is next in my notes. Yeah.
Yes. So we were wondering last week, as you guys remember, Ashley was like, we're not having sex. It's a whole thing. It's been 3-4 months, whatever she had said. We got some information about what they do in the bedroom.
Right. It's not P and the V, but it's other things.
Yeah, which I'm very sex positive. I think you are too.
Except when it comes to them. I don't want to visualize it.
This might have been an overshare.
Right.
This might have been too much for me.
Yeah.
I'm happy everybody's satisfied, I guess. We know that their marriage needs that, which is layered.
Right.
But also, she shared it with Sheila. She's talking to her mom about that. I'm not sure I would ever have that conversation with my mom about what Danny and I are or are not doing. Have you ever had that conversation with your Texas mother?
Weirdly, yes.
Oh,
not specifics, but like I do feel like things have come up. And on one hand, she's just like, I want you to be happy. And on the other hand, she's like, and now let's pivot and not talk about that
anymore. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. You touch on it.
Yeah.
You just sort of read between the lines and move on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ashley, we're not getting into like how I'm in what position. Like, no.
Yeah, what's going where and who's doing what. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Skip right over that when it comes to parents. Giselle's house. I cannot help but rip on Giselle sometimes. And it's so sad because I really do like her. But that West Wing, it looks all sorts of crazy. It's great on the inside. Don't get me wrong.
Beautiful.
From the outside. And the shade that Robin brought.
I know.
Dang.
This is the first time that I've really seen Giselle's house because of the pandemic. The West Wing interior is great. The exterior is horrible, though. It literally looks like a house attached to a house. It doesn't make sense. I just...
It's worse than, you know, all the shit talk about Giselle's clothes, because what are you gonna, you can't just change the house. It's built, you know?
After all that time and all that money, that's not changing.
Yeah.
Her style has gotten better in these two episodes, I think.
I think.
So far, so good.
Right.
Well, a few questionable choices, but overall, pretty good. Pretty good.
I do love the conversation with Giselle and her daughters, by the way.
Oh my God. Okay, so this conversation reminded me of The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, the interludes in between where it's like a classroom of kids and they're talking about love and relationships and what it all means. And everything the kids say in those interludes is so insightful. And it's exactly what we got from Giselle's daughters. They are wise beyond their years.
It's funny to look at your parent in a way and be like, oh, you're bad at relationships. You know what I mean?
I have maybe said that to my mom.
No!
Over the years in so many words. Not directly, but when we recap.
Yeah, a past relationship.
Situations that she has been in, yes. And we start to identify the flaws, the weak points. For sure. But I think at their age, Giselle's daughters, they feel a little more emboldened to be honest with her.
Right.
But someone has to be.
Yeah.
That's not Karen Huger because she doesn't believe Karen.
Exactly.
I mean.
And for them to say it about their own, you know, it's just interesting. They weren't happy about Giselle and Jamal being together last season. And this season, they seem perfectly okay with it being over.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder what they see online, what their friends might say. There are so many things that could come at them from different angles that influence their opinion, but also from just what they see in how Giselle and Jamal interact with each other now in this, quote, rekindled romance. They might not be buying it the way a lot of viewers aren't buying
it.
And they're closest to it.
Okay, but we touched on this at the top. What do you think about Wendy with the candle line?
I'm not for it.
It's very leaning into being a housewife for your second season.
Yes. Yes. And her major storyline last season was about a career change, going away from professorship, being a teacher, and getting more into political commentary. And she was so worried about telling her mom about this. She had really struggled with it all season. She got to a good place with it, felt really confident, decided to make the change now. Just within the span of a year or so, because, you know, that last season was at the end of 2019, so there was a lot of time in between. But you're right. She seems to be going that second season housewife need to use this platform to launch a product or something.
I mean, I don't know the exact ins and outs of hers, but I do think a lot of times it's probably tempting that, you know, You're doing okay. You're getting this Bravo check, but then someone else comes along and says, "Hey, I'm going to pay you X amount to slap your name on this product." That's got to be very tempting to bring in X amount of dollars that you didn't have before. But at the same time, it goes back to that inauthenticity. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. Because the first thing I thought of with this candle line was Dr. Tiffany Moon. with the aromesthesia candle line that she has, which ties in perfectly to who she is. It's part of her brand. Everything is branded like a doctor, which she is. So it started before she was even on the show, and she was able to use her platform to continue promoting it, but it felt organic. It felt more connected to who she was. This feels like it's straying a little bit from who we know Dr. Wendy is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to smell one.
Sure.
Just to know. Send us a candle, Wendy.
So we get to Karen's party for the couples, and Mia and Wendy are sort of getting into it. But the thing I kept focusing on was how Mia kept saying mish instead of mesh.
Right.
But no one was like, no one else thought that was weird.
Is this also a term that we are not aware of? Megan Brit? Looks to Brit.
People say mish. I think it's just supposed to be mesh.
Yeah, nobody said anything though. Yeah. And there wasn't even a shady producer or, you know, edit there where they could have just been like flashed up as a subtitle or something like mesh, you know? Like
yeah.
They could have leaned into it, but maybe everyone just agreed, oh, maybe that's a word.
Maybe that's just how they say it.
We just don't know. I don't know. DMV, mesh. Mia's very confusing.
Yeah.
Here is that Mia, if you guys mish, mish. If you don't mish, then don't mish. But don't mish on accounts of me. So
for sure.
I wasn't not mishing with her.
So they play a really fun game. I loved this part of the episode because it started off this whole season, especially the end of last episode, beginning of this one, Giselle and Karen going at it, and it got a little messy. But then by the end of this episode, we get into that really fun type of situation that we love watching Housewives for. It gets silly. People are revealing things. It's just, that's the stuff I love Potomac for.
I mean, yes, it's fun until that last question.
Yeah.
Which of the, they didn't say Housewives, but that's what it was. Because I really at first thought they were just talking about who in your friend group, you know, but it was all really Housewives.
Yeah.
Which of the Housewives would your partner be attracted to? Which I'm just like, oh my God, like this just is not going to go well. By the way, they did something very similar on Real Housewives of Orange County. It was the season where Tamara, they're in Bali and she runs away and she's like, you'll never see my face again.
Oh yeah.
Because one of the things they were talking about is how they were having a late night games and someone said, marry F kill, but it was like, around the table.
Right.
And Eddie said, you know, F Lizzie, or there was questions about that. It's just like, ugh, it's just no good can come from it.
No good can come from it. But Ray's answer of Katie
was funny.
Sent me for a loop. And I do talk to Karen about that in the interview as
well. Oh, good.
And she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I got my own Ray.
But to see that what happened between Eddie and Wendy, because he clearly had written Mia and she said, what did I tell you? Not applicable.
Mm-hmm. We're starting to see what we know is coming this season, which are some rumors, accusations potentially. Yikes.
Yeah. And by the way, just let him write Mia. You know right. what I mean? Like, I get how you're sort of annoyed with her and maybe you are a little threatened by her.
It seems like it.
But obviously this looks so much worse.
Right. Do you think if Michael had come with Ashley to this party, his answer would have been Juan? If only as a joke.
No, that would have been amazing.
You know?
That would have been amazing.
Going back to Mia in relation to this game, they start to hint that Mia may have been a stripper, and that's actually how they met. She wasn't a bartender at this strip club or a server. She was a stripper. But don't you think after seeing how honest she was about her plastic surgery, how open she's been so far in just these couple of episodes, if she had been a stripper, she'd be honest about it?
I guess you could say the difference here would be maybe you're comfortable with your kids knowing about plastic surgery. Maybe you're not comfortable with them knowing you were a stripper.
Well, then maybe
if that's the case, maybe she wasn't.
Yeah, she might not have been, but maybe change your story about where you met your husband then.
Right.
Because people may start to make things up
Yeah.
after that revelation. So I spoke with Karen Huger about Potomac's newest housewife, Mia Thornton, what advice she would give Giselle about Jamal, and what we can expect from her vow renewal with Ray later this season. Let's take a listen. Okay, guys, it would not be a new season of Potomac if we did not invite the Grand Dame. So please help me welcome Karen Huger.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Fantastic. And super excited for season 6.
Oh, absolutely. Now, okay, I know that you had a bit of a strained relationship with T'Challa, but fans are reeling over this loss. Have you spoken to Monique? And if so, how is she doing?
Well, I did reach out to Monique last night. As you can imagine, she loved T'Challa very much and she is grieving. So please do lift her up in prayer. T'Challa was a part of the family. So it's a tragedy, unfortunately, but she is doing the best she can. She's doing well.
Yeah. I mean, after that scare from last year and now this, my heart goes out to her and the whole family.
Absolutely. They're all very, very sad right now. And again, as I said, I spoke to her last night and she was very tearful. So this is very painful for the entire family. So again, any type of uplifting would be appreciated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get into season 6. So you and Wendy pretty much hit the reset button going into this season. So who initiated that?
I think both Wendy and I are responsible for that. We realized that we had a lot of intrusion upon the kickoff of our relationship last year. And we really wanted to get to know each other. So a reset button being pushed was necessary in order for us to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what do you think about her new boobs, her new booty, this glow up into her second season?
Listen, you know, I love a good tweak. I am so here for Wendy doing what makes Wendy feel good about Wendy. And I cheer her on. She looks fabulous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we should consider her two new boobs, the two new cast members this season. I mean, damn.
Let's talk about that. I was a little taken aback. I was like, okay, did she just name her boobs now? Come on, let's rewind the tape because, Tiff and Fee were named season 1, and that's mine.
Right. Yep.
Now they have friends, Happy and Ness. So I'm like, oh my God, this is so wonderful.
Oh my God, that is so funny. And she was a little hesitant to talk about the booty, I think, until Mia was a little more open about her work, right? Is that mm-hmm. the perception we got?
Well, you know what? I think she wanted to give it to us in tidbits, like, you know, feed us a little bit at a time. Because, listen, it is a private journey, but in this friendship circle, nothing is private, and we know that. So I respected her process, the way she chose to share each tweak with us individually. I think they deserved attention individually, personally.
Right. I mean, it's like smart marketing, right? It's like a rollout plan.
That's
you need
right.
to make changes.
You know, I'm a huge fan of rolling out things on your own time. Hello.
That is very true. So Wendy throws this nude interlude party. Unfortunately, Candace gets sick and she cannot make it. Were you disappointed that Candace wasn't able to be at the party?
First of all, I was very concerned. We were amid COVID, let's just say that. So that's right. The first thought I had. I'm like, I'm hoping Candace is okay. Once I found out she was okay, absolutely, I was disappointed because I thought that that would be a wonderful opportunity for us just to step away to the corner and to see where we were in our relationship this year from the jump. That would, and we missed that opportunity.
Right, right. So you do invite her, however, to the love lunch. So what was going through your mind when she first arrived?
Well, let me be very clear. Let me rewind a little bit. You know, Candace, I care a great deal for her. It's unfortunate that last year, you know, because I didn't choose between she or Monique, feelings were hurt, but that didn't deter me from trying to move forward with Candace. So because she did not make Wendy's dinner, I was determined to reach out to her and invite her to my home. So I was so excited when she said yes, because that was an indicator to me that Candace wanted to move on too.
Yeah.
She could very well said no, but she said yes. And that made me very happy at that moment.
Yeah. I mean, when she arrives, she's very gracious. She's smiling. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice interaction between you guys. And she actually invites you to her house. So have you been?
I have been to Candace's home. Let's say this. Candace and I had a very close relationship. Without revealing anything, we knew that we cared enough about each other to at least have a conversation.
Yeah.
So I loved her new home, by the way. It's everything. It's on fire. I'm so proud of her. But yeah, she was so gracious at my home. And stay tuned. You'll see that I return served.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I can't wait to see that relationship develop over the season, because I'm glad to hear you guys are getting back to a better place. What do you think about Chris being her manager?
You know, I think it's a personal decision between a husband and a wife. I support it. I would not have Ray manage me. You know, but do I support Candace and her hubby working together? Absolutely. So if he's her manager, he's her manager. That is her choice.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we'll see how that plays out. It'll be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, Robin and Giselle did not come to the love lunch. Were you disappointed at all that they didn't attend?
I thought it was typical behavior of Giselle not to come. And normally what Giselle does, Robin follows suit. And that's unfortunate. But I did reach out to Robin to let her know, even if she had a pair of sweatpants on, honey, come over last minute. We're going to have a ball at this love lunch. So was I disappointed? No, I wasn't disappointed. It's just typical behavior of Giselle. Nothing has changed.
Right. And you were trying to, you know, extend the invitation, bring the group back together. It did get a little heated at Wendy's nude interlude party, but at least you know, put that invitation out there.
Well, let's say this. I was so, for my part at the nude interlude party, you don't poke the bear. You just don't keep poking the bear. You're going to get poked back eventually. Am I proud of my part of that debacle? No, I am not. And I owned up to that, my part.
Yeah.
So hence the invitation to come to the love party, come out of the darkness that you dwell in, Jizzy, and come into the light and let's have some fun. And possibly before we have the fun though, two grown women step aside, talk to one another. So that opportunity was missed by Giselle and I as well.
Right. Well, you know,
because she didn't come.
Interesting fact about Sing Sing, Karen, is yes, it's an actual prison, but it's also what Mariah Carey called her home with Tommy Mottola, because she felt so trapped there. So like, if you need some summer reading, her memoir, that's where I learned that. So I highly recommend it.
Well, you know, I was channeling. Look, I will tell you this. When I came up with Sing Sing, I realized, look, Giselle is a good fighter. She likes you to come into the ring with her, right? And spar with her. And I wanted to lift the moment and get out of the darkness. And so I said, we all know you've been to Sing Sing, but I was thinking about, you know, not the jail at all. Absolutely. Let me be very clear. But yeah, the prison of the past year, relationship she had been in, that had taken a toll. Clearly she was, you know, coming after me because she's coming hot off of New Jersey, season 5, and you know, all of her lies were revealed. And so someone had to pay the price, and she set her cap for me, the wrong one. So, you know, I understood and was almost sitting on ready for that attack from Giselle, because of course, Monique is gone. Somebody's got to pay for the binder, honey. Why not Karen?
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, and you also speak to Ray in the second episode about why you and Giselle clash, and you do tie it back to her relationship. So, I mean, what advice would you give her about her relationship with Jamal if she was open to receiving it?
My advice to Giselle about Jamal, if she were open to receiving it, would be not to go backwards. You can't go back.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know many relationships that work that go back. So I would have advised her not to go back at all. That's been very painful for her and very embarrassing for her, because the whole lie unraveled, especially when the ex-husband takes to social media right after New Jersey and says he's nobody's boyfriend. I'm like, oh my God, please don't do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and unfortunately it leaves her in a bad situation where I think Giselle is, you know, in a very awkward position. I think that she believes that if she repeats her lies enough, we will believe her. No one believes her. We know the truth. And that's sad though.
Yeah.
I don't wish that on her. I don't. But don't come for me. I didn't drag you.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Well, obviously, we have a new housewife this season. Yes. Let's talk about Mia. What was your first impression of her when you met?
Well, Mia and I met through a business associate, and we clicked immediately. Honestly, it was refreshing to meet a very intelligent, beautiful woman that was not insecure about anything.
Yeah.
And we just clicked emotionally. We had, believe it or not, we almost both cried. We got along so well because we had so many things in common. It was refreshing. And I just knew that, you know, the audience, the crowd would connect to her. She's charismatic. She's fun. She's intelligent. And she's quirky. She's good people all around.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having so much fun with her already, just in these first two episodes.
Yeah.
Now, you brought her into the group, mm-hmm. who did you anticipate she would get along with? And who did you expect that she might clash with?
You know, my thing was I had no anticipation for anything, you know, meaning this, because I asked each girl, because I know Giselle was going to judge Mia by me, because she's my friend.
Right.
I asked them all to please receive her, meet her individually, and judge her on their own merit. What happens between the two of them? Don't judge her. I didn't have to say this to any of the other ladies but Giselle. Don't judge her because she came in through me. And you'll see that Giselle struggles with Mia initially, and it's not because of me.
Right.
It's because that's just Giselle. Nothing has changed. She always tortures the new girl.
Right. Or tries. Rite of passage.
Laura, that's her MO, but go ahead.
Well, Wendy seems to think that Mia did you dirty by saying Giselle has a good heart. Do you think Wendy has a point, or is she reaching?
I think that was a reach on Wendy's part. I think Wendy really wants to get close to me this year. So she's like, hold on, you don't treat Karen like that. And I really appreciate that. But at the same time, when Mia did that, Mia was being genuine. If she felt at the moment, I want all of my true friends, and I consider Ashley, Candace, Wendy, Mia, Robin, and I all in a great place. She has a right to say that she believes that Giselle has a good heart. I say just stay around Giselle long enough. She'll figure that out. I don't need to help her. We don't need to help her. Okay, just stay around long enough. You'll see. Mia has a right to feel the way she feels. My friendship does not decide whether or not she thinks someone has a good heart. She has a right. I'm not saying Giselle's heart is not good. I just question it.
Right. Which Mia may eventually as well.
As we all have. Yes.
Well, I mean, it's also like, let's be real. Mia is at this point trying to integrate herself into mm-hmm. the show, into the cast with the women. So even at the end of the nude interlude, she's asking for numbers. And I think Wendy's like, oh, what is she doing? Why is she doing this without checking with Karen? But I mean, she's a grown woman. She doesn't really have to check in with you.
Well, what you'll see is that Mia and I have what's called respect in our friendship. And that's what's going to cause our relationship to continue to grow. We don't agree about everything. So no, Mia does not need my permission to get anyone's phone number. That if that's how she wants to connect, that's how we connect. And first of all, and foremost, she's a businesswoman. That is what she does. She, right. she met you. She's going to get your contact information. I see no harm in that. Maybe she wants to take everyone out individually, as she should. I don't get it. I'm not offended.
Maybe she wants to be, is there a group chat? Is she trying to get into the Potomac group chat?
Well, you'll have to ask Mia that.
Okay, fair. One thing that pleasantly surprised me this season so far was that you invited both Ashley and Michael to the Love Lunch. So mm-hmm. talk a little bit about how your perspective on Michael has changed in the last, you know, couple of years.
Right. You know, I'll say my perspective on Ashley has changed the most. And when you have a woman who is your friend, you have to try and respect the husband as well. And in doing so and making that effort with Ashley, I saw Michael changing because of the children. And where their relationship has grown to. And I'm very happy for them. And so I am willing to take it from now and move forward. I am not a person that likes to live in the past. We've been in the pandemic and it gives you perspective.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that they're growing their family together and that they are in a better place. So that helped me see Michael clearly as far as a father and a husband to his wife. And they love each other. And I support that.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And as a friend to Ashley, you know, that's mm-hmm. what you have to do.
Absolutely. As a friend to Ashley, I felt that I had to do that, but let's not you know, take away from Michael's personal growth either. Michael is his own man, and you see him, I see him in a different light. I've not seen him do any other thing than love his wife and love his children. And that's all you can ask of a husband and a girlfriend who is married to Michael.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. At the Love Lunch, you guys play a really fun dating game with your partners. And Karen, I screamed when Ray picked Katie. Did you see that coming?
I couldn't listen. No, I did not see Katie coming. Katie didn't see Katie coming. Ray is on fire this season. I think Ray is the new, he's a newbie this season. He's just so relaxed and so open. And but it does not surprise me. Ray's a very brilliant man. Katie is a very intelligent woman and she's stunning. So, okay, Ray, I'll give you that, but we were all floored.
I really didn't expect
it. If you think about it, it was safe though. It was safe because Katie wasn't there. He knows how to play the game.
Right. He's smart. Ray's smart.
Yes, he is.
Now there is a bit of a housewife's curse around vow renewals. We've seen it with Shannon Bedore. We've seen it with Cynthia Bailey, Ramona Singer. Were you worried at all about renewing your vows on the show?
Absolutely not. I don't believe in the curse, if you will. I do believe that if your marriage is going to end, it's going to end regardless of whether you renew your vows or not. So I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to renew my vows with the man I'm in love with for 25 years and continue to pray for us. But yeah, I wasn't going to miss that opportunity because of the track record. I'm not connecting to the track record. I'm connecting to Ray.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's so well said. And so what can you tease about the renewal? I know that celebration won't be coming up until a bit later on in the season, but what can you share with us about it?
It was, I'll say this. It's a grown man and grown woman doing a dang thing this time. And friendship plays a large role in it with Ray and I. And it's beautiful. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
I'll do this. On Ray's scale.
Now, are both of your kids a part of it?
Unfortunately, Raven could not be there. She was not well. So she did not attend, but my son gave me away.
Oh, how cute. Oh, that's so
Brandon
cute.
Gave me away. I know. And I can tell you, I got a lot of exercise at that vow renewal. Ray had me do something that is quite unusual and you guys will see it.
Oh my God. Oh God, I can't wait. That's amazing. Well, Karen, thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm so excited for the new season.
Well, thank you for having me. Buckle up. We're on fire. You're going to enjoy it.
Oh my God. Cannot wait. Thank you, Karen. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Below Deck Med.
Yes.
There is just something about a stew named Courtney that I automatically love.
Well, I love her because she got crazy that, you know, first outing. And just calling Z daddy, making out with him.
She kind of reminds me of you when you get a little drunk. I can see you calling people daddy. You know, I think you have done that before.
Anyway, daddy, let's see, right?
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, baby.
I don't think there's really anything properly romantic happening, at least on her side.
No, I think that's what's sad. I know. It is on his.
Yeah.
And like, so he's like, this is the best night of his life because this girl he thinks is so pretty is like all over him. And then meanwhile, she's like, what happened? Like that literally could have been anyone basically is what she's essentially saying.
Yeah. It seemed like one of those late night drunken makeouts that we've all had, but I don't think she's going to pursue anything.
I have to say, I am loving all of the deckhands.
Yeah.
They're so like fun and funny and I like them a lot.
Well, that said, do you think that Dave has a chance with Malia?
I don't see it, but I could be wrong.
I know. It's like he said, I think last week, good guys finish last.
I know.
And Tom was an ass, and Malia was into him.
And Dave does seem very nice.
And like, why should good guys finish last? Like, what is it that always seems to result in that way?
I can tell you from my POV, nice guys, I often am not sexually attracted to because I assume they will not be good in bed.
Interesting.
And maybe I am not being representing. I'm not saying this is what all women think, but I have definitely it's like a girl's, I do think, assess in the first minute, like, would we sleep with you? And when I meet a nice guy, I often think, he wouldn't excite me.
Interesting.
I have been proven wrong, though. Absolutely.
I'm sure. But it is interesting because I wonder if it ties to gender norms and what we think manly masculine should be versus.
Oh, absolutely. No.
You know?
It is a problem for myself. Why do I want a guy to be like, you know, a little mean to me? I don't know, okay?
Andrew is a very nice guy, and so is Aaron. So I think you did pretty okay.
Yes. I will say, though, with Aaron, I was not initially interested because I thought he was too nice.
Yeah. I could see that because he is so nice.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, God. Boring. Yeah. I know. It is like Dave is so cute, and we do see his butt in next week's episode. So there is a little bit of.
Oh, was that him? I thought it was the mustache guy.
Lloyd. I know you would think it was Lloyd, but it was Dave.
Oh.
So. He's obviously being a little adventurous. Maybe he's trying to show that rebellious, like, badass side of himself to impress her. So there could be hope for them, but I'm kind of with you. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's going to play out. I'll tell you one thing. I don't trust Lexi.
She is showing her dark passenger, to borrow a Vanderpump Rules phrase, because she has an actual burn list. What kind of person actually carries a physical copy of names of people they hate?
I do not think it's healthy to...
And it's not just a couple of names.
It's a big list. Malia was like, all these over here are names? And she's like, uh-huh.
Wow.
It cannot be healthy for you to hold those kind of grudges with you in life. And I understand maybe the mentality of... I want to prove people wrong, right? Like, I want to be what nobody expected me to be, which is okay. If that's what drives you and motivates you forward in life, okay. But having that physical copy of names, it's a little much.
Because, I mean, look, we all have a list of names in our head of people that, like, have wronged us or that we would not be sad if something happened to them. Oh, just me? Okay. But again, the physical list, and it really makes you wonder, God, whose burn list are you on?
Oh, God.
No, I ask this a lot. Would you want to know?
Would you want to
see the list of people who hate you?
I would want to know to make sure I'm not still associated to those people.
I agree. I would want to know. Some people wouldn't want to know.
It's also curious that she carries it around, like, freely. It's not in a notebook.
It's not laminated.
That also concerns me a bit. Like, how does she ensure that it doesn't get crinkled up or ruined or something? It's not protected in any way, which is a little more unstable to me.
It's also dangerous because, remember, Lindsay Lohan kept a very different list, and it was all the guys she had banged, and someone found it in the trash and published it.
That was a good list.
That was a great list.
Some really interesting choices on there.
Yeah, but Jamie Dornan was on there.
there were some good ones.
Yeah.
By the way, we'll talk a little bit more about this in Beverly Hills. I'm going to LA and Palm Springs next week. That's where I'll be. Overnight, when I stay in LA before I leave for the desert, I'm staying at the Chateau Marmont.
So we'll look through the trash.
I will be channeling my inner 2007 Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, that's amazing.
That evening. I know. I feel like I'm going to see, like, spirits of just, like, Lana Del Rey floating the halls.
She's still alive, you know.
I know, but, like, her essence is there. Roy Orbison Jr.
Oh.
He took a page from Johnny Damon's book, and then he set that book on fire.
It's at the point where you maybe go to bed by
yourself. I'm about to jump off the second floor balcony for fun.
I thought they're not big drinkers. It's a family. Boy, was I wrong.
A happy time. Happy times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love you. Oh, happy times.
Remember how drunk Johnny Damon was the last time he was on? Well, it was regular Below Deck, right? Straight up? Or was it Below Deck Med? No, I can't remember. Either way, Johnny Damon came. First trip around was a lot of fun. Second time, got really drunk. Roy just took it to a whole new level.
That was crazy to watch. And look, I'm not saying once you have kids, you lose your party side, but there were kids there.
And his kids are cute.
Cute. I mean, it's my thorn actually this week, but yeah, I felt bad for the wife.
I felt bad for every other guest because nobody seemed to be on his level
at all.
And was like,
well, okay. And half of them were drinking non-alcoholic things.
Yeah. I guess he thought, this is my trip. I'm going to let loose. Final thought on Below Deck Med. Chef Matt refers to Courtney as ditzy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time we retire that word.
Oh, because you think it's a little bit reductive?
Yeah, it's sort of that dumb blonde mentality,
right,
which is not fair.
Yeah.
I don't think there's room for it today in the world we live in.
Yeah.
I think someone can be a little ditzy, but like, let's just not use it.
Right.
Let's find another word.
Dumb.
Stupid.
I mean, I definitely don't think she is. I just think she doesn't take anything too seriously.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you would never refer to a man as ditzy.
Very true.
So let's find a better word.
Yes.
Everyone send us suggestions.
Okay.
Send us insults, please. Beverly Hills?
Yes. Okay. I've never thought of myself as cynical, and I've certainly never thought of myself as not cynical. But I feel like Beverly Hills this season makes me feel like I am on the not cynical end of the spectrum. Because last week we talked all about the episode with Erica crying and social media just blew up with how she is just faking this whole thing.
But let's talk about who triggered that response.
Oh, Camille Grammer.
Yes.
Yeah. She made a comment that was, you know, I swam with Erica in the ocean and never saw her mascara run. Just saying. Something right. like that.
I mean, maybe Erica had to get rid of a lot of makeup before her move and didn't expect to get that emotional. Nobody had tissues. It wasn't like she had a box of tissues ready to go. And Kyle also seemed to be she didn't think she was going to react that way.
Yeah.
It felt very natural to me, too. There is a narrative that's out there on social media right now of Erica is acting. This is her Emmy performance. Like, she's really drilling it home. But the alternative is, the non-cynical alternative is, she's being brutally honest.
Right.
For the very first time. And I think we should allow that innocent until proven guilty to exist right now.
One thing is for sure, no one is saying that they are tired of this storyline.
No.
Because it is riveting. I mean, it's terrible what is happening, but there is no part of it that is uninteresting.
Right, right. Watching her get rid of the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Also very emotional. That's closing a significant chapter in her life and in her brand. You know, right now we're dealing a lot with Erica Girardi, the woman, but we also have this Erica Jane persona. Like, where does that go from here?
Yeah.
Because a lot of that was bankrolled by Tom. And how does that go forward?
I mean, especially right now with the public's response, I don't know that it can.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be getting any new singles. We may get another book one day. But not anytime soon.
It's not okay, and it's not going to be okay for a long time.
I did think it was interesting. You know, I love the other housewives talking about it with Erica. Because, you know, first of all, you get Dorit's point of view in terms of she sort of dealt with the freezing of assets on her end. And she was like, it happened to me, and I literally did not know PK when this stuff happened.
Zero involvement.
And then you have Kathy Hilton, who's like, what am I going to do? Question everything Rick puts in front of me? No, I sign it because I trust him. He's my husband.
Yeah.
Marriage is based on trust.
Yeah.
If my husband come in and say, here, sign these 50 papers where the X is, what do I sit there and go over every little paper? I sign it because I trust my husband.
You know, and it's interesting to get that perspective and to let that weigh in on what might have happened.
Absolutely, because in today's world, when these headlines break, you start making assumptions. You start making your own judgments, and you're like, oh, this is a black and white situation. But when you hear Erica's friends explaining their perspectives, you can kind of take a step back and be like, oh, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I'm so grateful right now that she does have this support system, because who else does she have right now? Mikey, her assistant. I'm sure she has some other friends that we don't know about. Her son. I'd love to know what her son thinks about this whole thing.
It's interesting because I watched the never before seen version of last week's episode, and there was an additional part where when Erica was talking to Kyle, she talked about her son and having a conversation with him on the phone about it, and how she kind of basically said, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it basically was insinuating she wasn't sure she could keep living this way.
Yeah.
And her son just being very, like, he doesn't sugarcoat things, but being like, you're not gonna let this take you down.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to keep going.
Well, all of the things that Erica is identifying as issues in her relationship and flaws in her marriage, her son was probably witness to a lot of that because he lived in the house with them. So I would love to hear his perspective, even if just it's her repeating it. So I'm going to check out that episode.
Yeah.
It's also a very small detail, but watching Erica bring Tiago to the desert, knowing that there'd be nobody home to take care of him. Like, this is her new life.
Yeah.
I love Tiago, obviously.
But also, speaking of, like, who is her support, maybe it's Tiago.
Exactly. Yeah. She's like, you're coming with me, okay? I need my emotional support animal. Okay. All of that being said, some of the details of what Erica was recounting about the car accident, his ankle, this road, some of that started to feel, I don't want to say far-fetched, but as Sutton said, it got a little confusing.
Well, I agree with you there, because it wouldn't be confusing if she had if all those details were present the first time we got the story. Was it 2 seasons ago?
Yeah.
Because 2 seasons ago, he's fine. Yeah, the car's not. He broke his ankle. So to now go back to that and be like, here's the really dramatic version of what happened, and also knowing it's just come out in court that they don't think that Tom is fully aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
A cynical person might say, is there a case that's being built by his defense?
Yeah.
That she's sort of going along with.
Right. That's an interesting point. But the other side of it is, at that time, she couldn't say on camera, oh yeah, I think Tom's failing. I think his mind is something's wrong. He's a huge, prominent lawyer who bankrolls her life. At that time, if she had said that on reality television, it would have crumbled him, their marriage. Something that she, at that time, wasn't ready to walk away from. So, you know.
But then to also drop the bomb about the other woman.
So I was just assuming he was with some other woman.
I need you to roll that back.
We can get into that too.
What woman was he
with? I don't know. Any of them. You can take a pick.
Obviously, that means he's cheating on you.
Remember the screenshots?
Yeah.
That she had posted and then deleted? That must be what she's referencing, this evidence that she found.
I know.
I'm not surprised.
No. But it almost feels a little bit like when someone calls in sick to work and they're like, oh, I can't come in because, well, first of all, someone's coming to fix the door, but also I'm not like feeling great. And this other thing, and you're just like, when you've given three excuses, you know what?
Like, do you have a job interview? Is that what you have?
It's no longer credible. If you just said you were sick, or you just said someone would come in your apartment, I would have believed it. So a little bit, I have that feeling of, oh, you're throwing a lot of things at us right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And we get the mid-season tease at the end of this episode, and I think that's how Sutton feels. She's starting to notice some cracks and realizes that, sure, everybody is Erica's friend and wants to be there to support her. But let's take a step back and maybe not take everything she says as truth, because it's a very complicated situation for Erica, for Tom, and for these women who are filming a reality show with her. Last thought on Beverly Hills. which celebrity would you die if they started following you? Because I would love for Drake to follow me.
Well, yeah, obviously. I think that, oh, Kim K.
Oh, yeah, that would be yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine would probably be, I mean, obviously Beyonce would be like the ultimate, but mine would definitely be Rihanna.
Right.
Because I know she's a fan of Housewives. I know she follows Heather, Karen, Monique, a few others. So Rihanna, I'm here. Eric J. Mack. Throw me a follow. Okay. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
So my rose was from Real Housewives of New York City. And even though it was a sad thing, I feel like during the seance, we got some real insight into Sonia and Ramona and like some past traumas they've experienced. Sonia being that her father was an alcoholic who abandoned her family. Ramona's being that she had a brother who was self-destructive and that she had kind of cut out of her life because she couldn't deal with it. These aren't happy things, but like Leah said, it gives you such a more informed view of who they are and why they are the way that they are, you know?
Absolutely. And we've known Sonia and Ramona for so long now. So to get more information and understand where they come from a little bit more, it just, you just realize, oh my God, like these are very complex women.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't just base how we feel on them on one thing.
Yeah.
Let's continue to peel back the layers. My rose is from Shahs of Sunset, and it is Golnessa's advice to Reza about Mike, because she seems so rational, so evolved. She's just like telling Reza, which is advice I think we all should take, about just like, don't let it affect you. Don't let what somebody else is doing in their life have an impact on you.
Yeah.
You know, she seems to be very good at separating, that's Mike, that's how he is, but he's still my friend. And I'm not going to take on what he's putting out there. It's too much for me. So I hope Reza takes that.
Yeah.
Okay, what was your thorn?
I already touched on it, but Roy Orbison Jr. on Below Deck Med, just being so drunk. It's scary to be, you know, in the middle of the ocean acting like that. And also to make all the people around you responsible instead of being able to enjoy this thing that they've spent a lot of money on, you know?
Right, right. We left him trying to jump off the top of the boat, which like, Jesus.
What about yours?
My thorn is Sutton's clearly abandoned storyline from last season, because we got a flashback in this episode of a conversation with her and her mom. So as we know, Sutton was intended to be full-time last season, but she got, you know, bumped down to friend of. And I think we would have seen a lot more from her. I don't know. I would have loved just having a little bit more background on her, especially coming into this season.
This is a big deal for me. And there's a lot of dad in this. This is his writing, and it's on the building. It's on everything. And don't you miss him? Like a little?
You can't expect me to feel about him as you do. It was my marriage to him, not your marriage to him. And my relation to him was totally different from yours. I don't know what else you want me to say.
It would be nice to know that you missed him.
I don't miss him.
But yeah, sort of like the Ramona and Sonia part of it, really getting a deeper insight into who she is, you know, and that her father committed suicide when she was in her 30s.
And the way her mom reacted.
Yeah.
Being like, your relationship with him was not mine. She's like, I wish you just would tell me you missed him. And she's like, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. Hope we get to meet her again this season.
I know. And we'll be back next week with an all-new episode with a special guest co-host. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys,
let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.